Well, we're going to be in Galatians today, Galatians chapter 5. Pastor asked me to preach this afternoon and next Sunday afternoon because he's doing a Sunday school series out of what he's been teaching about in Sunday morning, and so I'm thankful for that. And so with that in mind, I'm kind of trying to stay within the subject of the spiritual life, the spirit-filled life. I kind of talked Wednesday a little bit about what we've already been learning about the natural man, about how that the natural man is the man who is lost, who doesn't have the Holy Spirit living in him, okay? If you remember, I think everybody that's in here was here for the first Sunday school lesson I did. And if you remember right, Paul, he divided all of mankind into three categories. Now, he didn't divide them in categories based off of anything ridiculous like race or financial class or anything like that. He divided them into classes based upon their relationship with the Holy Spirit, okay? And there's the natural man. We remember that. The natural man is the one who is lost, who does not have any relationship with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit does not indwell the natural man. And then the carnal man is the man who is saved, but is living by his flesh instead of by the Holy Spirit, okay? Because when you're saved, the Holy Spirit comes and indwells you and helps you, enables you to live the life that God wants you to live. But whenever you're a saved person and you're rejecting the Holy Spirit's help and you're trying to live this life by your flesh, then you're what Paul considered a carnal man. And we're going to talk today about how that happens, how a person is a carnal man instead of a spiritual man, which is a man who is saved and is trying to live his life by the help of the Holy Spirit. And we're going to learn more about how that happens, but essentially it's the man who is surrendered. That's the main word. Okay, I'm going to give away some things. We're still going to teach this passage in our series, but I love this text in Galatians 5. But we're going to learn about how Paul puts it in this passage, walk in the Spirit, okay? Walk in the Spirit. And that's the difference between a carnal man and a spiritual man, is whether a man is walking according to his flesh or if a man is walking in the Spirit. And we'll explain that tonight, okay? But if you would stand, let's stand and get our blood flowing a little bit. And in the honor of the Word of God, we'll read our passage today, Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. Galatians chapter 5, verse number 16. Paul says this, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these." And he lists a list of works of the flesh, okay? And he picks up there in verse 21, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. And so that's in no way an exhaustive list, but these are what your flesh causes you to do. And then he says, "Of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we walk in the Spirit, let us also... I'm sorry, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another." Let's pray and we'll get into the message tonight. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for this great passage. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. Lord, help us to understand the importance of the Holy Spirit in our life. Help us to walk in the Spirit, understand what that means today. Pray to be with me, help me to be clear, help me to declare your word your way, and help us to be attentive and, Lord, wanting to do what you have us to do today. In Christ's name I pray, amen. Amen, you may be seated. Okay, so the Galatians in our text, if you would, with me, go to chapter 5, verse 1. chapter 5, verse 1, just to tell you kind of what's going on in the passage before we really get into it. What's going on here is the Galatian believers were that church was started by Paul, okay? So Paul would be sent out, and he was a missionary, and he would plant churches in all of these cities and towns, and he planted this church in Galatia, okay? And they knew the word, they understood how salvation worked, they knew that it was by grace through faith, not of works, not of the law of the Old Testament, but it was by what Christ did on the cross, and his death was fully sufficient for their salvation and was sufficient to help them to live the way that God wants them to live. Well, along the way, these people came in the church, and they're called Judaizers, all right? And they would come in the church, and what their teaching, it was a false teaching, by the way, false teaching was going on even way back then, and they were saying, well, in order to keep your salvation, you have to keep all of the law. You have to obey all the ordinance of the law. You have to not only follow the Ten Commandments, you know, but you also have to do the sacrifices, you have to be circumcised, you have to do all of the law in order to keep your salvation. Now, we know that's not true, amen? But they were kind of attacked by this false doctrine and were beginning to believe it. And so Paul's main purpose of this letter is to help them understand that's not how it works, okay? So look at verse 1 of chapter 5. Paul says, stand fast, therefore, in the, what's that word? Liberty, wherewith Christ has made us free. And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. And so Paul is saying, we have liberty in Christ in this way, that we're not servants of sin. Understand? We do not have to sin. We've been made free from sin. But also, it has this idea that we are right with God, and there's nothing that we need to do to earn God's favor. Does that make sense? There's nothing we can do to earn the favor of God. Because there's nothing, we can't earn it, and so because we can't earn it, we can't lose it either, right? Because if there were some things you can do so where, now God doesn't like me, by implication, that means there are some things you can do to make God like you. And that's not the truth. And so Paul is saying we have this liberty in Christ, all right? And so we're made right with God. And so here's the deal. No matter what we do, we have favor with God. Now, you can see how that could cause a problem within people, right? And here's what he says. Go to verse 13. First of all, let's go to verse 12. Paul says, I would they were even cut off, which trouble you. And so those that brought this false doctrine that says, if you want God to like you, you need to follow the law. And if you're not following the law, God does not like you. Paul says, I wish those guys would just leave the church. That's what he wishes, okay? Because they're totally confusing the church. But then look at verse 13. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. You're free, and because you're free only because of what Jesus did on the cross, and not because you followed certain ordinances. But only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh. So just because you are right with God, you understand what I mean. You have favor with God because of what Christ did for you. Here's what you don't need to do. First of all, you don't need to try to continue to earn God's favor. That's the first problem that they're having. You don't have to keep doing right. I'm doing right. I'm at church. I'm trying to live for God. I'm trying to raise my children right. I'm trying to do all this so that God will like me. Well, that's not a good mindset because that's not how it works. We don't do right so that God likes us. God loves us, and he died for us, and we're made right with him because of what his son did on the cross, not because of anything we've done, okay? But the other side of that is, well, God likes me anyways, so I can just do whatever I want. And I can just do whatever my flesh desires, and God's going to love me, God's going to like me, and there's no problem with that. Well, Paul says, let's not let that happen. And he says that in other places. And in Romans, he says, God forbid that you do that, okay? But instead, by love, serve one another. Does our flesh want to serve one another in love? No. You know what our flesh wants to do? Look at verse 15. but if ye bite and devour one another. That's what we want to do. Now, sometimes we don't do that because we don't want people to think we're like jerks. But because we're all selfish, and if there was no ramifications for that, and we can just treat everybody horribly and no one would care, we would, every single one of us, do that on our own. Does that make sense? Because we're selfish. And our flesh only cares about us. All right? And so we can't operate by our flesh. If you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. And so Paul is saying, you have this liberty, but don't allow that to allow your life to operate by the flesh. And so what he's saying is, operating by the flesh, well, that would be called what? If you do something out of the flesh, there's a word, it starts with an S, little word, sin, right? Sin. And so just because you're already made right with God, no matter what, that doesn't mean you should just go out there and commit every sin you can. Okay? So we need to not operate by the flesh, because that's what we used to do, right? Before we were saved, the reason, in the most technical sense, the reason we go to hell forever if we're not saved is because of our flesh, isn't it? It's because our flesh leads us to sin, and sin is what separates us from God forever. And so God came to liberate us from our flesh. So after we are saved, we should not operate by the flesh, not so that we can earn favor with God, because we've already earned favor with God, but because our flesh destroys our life. And our flesh destroys the life of those around us. And we can't help or edify each other if we're operating by our flesh. It'll cause us to bite and devour one another. And then even at the end of our text, verse 26, let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. So that's what our flesh leads us to do. And so this is our goal when we're saved. Let us not operate by our flesh. Okay? Let's not do the works of the flesh. And it can be said simply like this: let's just not sin. That's easy to say, isn't it? Hey, how about we just stop it? You know? Let's just not sin. That's what we want to do, right? If we're saved, and if we are truly saved by the grace of God, then there's a desire in us to not sin. Because God died for us, and we want to live for him, and we want to please him with our life. And to please him with our life, we need to not follow our flesh. So what do we do, Brother Chad? Well, you just stop, right? Is that going to work? Have you tried that? That didn't work. Because our flesh is who we are. And if we try to just stop it, all we're going to do, this is what every time you will do. If you just buy your bootstraps, say, I'm just going to love people. I'm not going to get mad anymore. And I'm just going to, everything in my life is going to be for Jesus. And I'm doing it. That's not going to work. The only thing that's going to happen is you're going to, one, frustrate yourself. Number two, you'll be a hypocrite, because you're going to live outwardly like that, maybe, but inwardly and in your home and where no one can see you, you're still who you are. We can't do that. And God never intended for us to live that way. God never intended for us to just stop it, because we can't. So what do? Well, there's no hope. Okay, let's pray. That's not it. This is how we do it. This is how we keep ourselves from fulfilling the lust of the flesh. It's right here, spelled out. Ready? Verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. There it is. If we want to walk in the Spirit, if we want to deny the lust of our flesh, now we have to remember what our flesh is. Our flesh is who we are. Our flesh is our desires. Our flesh is our attempts. Our flesh is our intellect. Our flesh is who we are. And if we're going to try to deny who we are on our own, I mean, that's not going to work. That's like trying to put out a fire by blowing fire on it. It's not going to work. We have to do something else. And so Paul says, in order to not fulfill the lusts of the flesh, you need to walk in the Spirit, because the flesh and the Spirit are opposed to each other. Okay? Look at the next verse. For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Football season's going on, right? Maybe. I mean, it's basically over because the Giants are in the playoffs. But there's some people that are playing football, I guess. And just imagine that you are on the best team that ever existed, the Giants. And you're playing the worst team that's ever existed, the Cowboys. Amen? And they're playing each other. All right? Now, obviously, in this analogy, who's the Holy Spirit? The Giants. And who's the flesh and all of sin and detriment of this world? The Cowboys. Okay? And they're playing each other. If you want the Giants to win, because you're spiritual, or you want to be spiritual, the way to make the Giants win is not to be on the Cowboys team. That just doesn't make any sense, right? You can't. You can't be on the Cowboys team and you want the Giants to win. Why? Because they're opposed to each other. Your flesh, hey, the Cowboys succeeding is bad for the Giants, right? And so if you're on the Giants team and you're doing something for the Giants, if you're on the Cowboys team and you're doing something good for the Cowboys, by necessity, that's bad for the Giants. Understand? Now, that's never going to happen, obviously, so let's go on this side. The Giants, and you're on the Giants team, and you make a touchdown like they always do, that is bad for the Cowboys, right? And that's what he's saying is, look, if you're operating by your flesh and you say, I'm going to live good, I'm going to do right, I'm going to do it because I'm awesome, and I'm going to live for God, you're doing something in your flesh. And even if you succeed at what you think is good, understand? Like, you've somehow convinced everybody that you love people even though you don't, but what you want is for people to think you love people. You succeed at that, and your flesh succeeds. That's bad for the spirit. Why? Because they're opposed. Okay? You understand? So if you're operating by the flesh, spirit can't win. If you're operating by the spirit, the flesh can't win. You understand? They're opposed. You can't play on both teams at the same time. Okay. So how do you do that? How do you walk in the spirit? Does that mean then that there's this pathway that is the spirit, right? And it's like it's paved with Bible pages. And you walk on it. And then you, as long as you're doing right, you're walking in the spirit because that's what the spirit says. But then once you mess up, then you're off. That's not what it is at all. Walking in the spirit, I'm not going to get too deep or weird, but walking in, that is in the Greek, it's a type of a word that means by means of, okay? Walking by means of the Spirit. It's a weird way to say it. That's why they didn't say it that way. But walking by means of the Spirit. That means that your walk is controlled by the Spirit. Okay? It's like if you were to act in anger. Okay? Your actions are controlled by anger. Right? If you're doing things because you're in love. Right? Your love is what controls you. Okay, and so he's saying we need to walk in the Spirit. And listen, if we are allowing the Spirit to control us, then we will not do what the flesh wants us to do. Because you can't do what the Spirit wants and what the flesh wants at the same time. Okay? All right. And so if we want to avoid giving into the flesh, we must walk in the Spirit. Okay? And then that's what it says here in verse 18. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. What does he mean by that? Well, he's saying that if you follow the Spirit's control, and if you're surrendering yourself to the Holy Spirit to work in your life, then you're not going to break the law that God has placed in your life. Understand? And so instead of spending so much time to, here's really the point he's trying to make. Instead of trying to figure out everything you're not supposed to do, you're not supposed to do that, I'm not supposed to do this, not supposed to do this, how about we just allow ourselves to do what the Holy Spirit wants us to do, and whenever the Word of God is spoken, we're already surrendered to the fact that whatever it says, I'm going to do that. And then you won't have to worry about trying to keep the law and trying to live for God and have Him like you. You just need to follow what the Spirit tells us to do. And by the way, you can't do any of that without the Holy Spirit's help. Okay? All right, I'll explain a little bit more about that in a second. Okay, so he really expounds on that idea in verses 19 to 23. It says, now the works of the flesh are manifest. Now, what I'm just going to give this to you now. Next week, what I want to do is kind of expound more on the works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. But today, I kind of want to lay the groundwork for this. Okay, so what he does is he lists a bunch of things. And these are the works of the flesh. Okay, now the works of the flesh, he says, are manifest. And so this is, if your flesh was to have full control and there were no ramifications and there was no consequences and you can just live life how you want and not pay for it, this is what your flesh would do, okay? All of those, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, envyings, murders, and drunkenness, revelings. There's a lot there, and he actually has an order there, which we're not going to cover today. That's a long list, but then he says this, and such like. And so our flesh does a lot of bad things, okay? Now, here's his point. Of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Pause. What he's not saying here is, if you do these things, even after you're saved, you're not saved. No. What he's saying here is that the flesh breaks the law of God. Okay? The only reason anyone goes to hell is because things like this, and it's because it's what our flesh wants us to do. Okay? So our flesh is what breaks the law of God. And if you want to not break the law of God, then the way to do it is not operating by your flesh. And not trying harder and doing your best and doing your best. Now, we need to do our best, but we need to do our best with the Holy Spirit's help, understand? But if we're going to try to live this life without the Holy Spirit's help, the best we can do is this list, okay? And so it's our flesh that causes us to break the law of God. Okay, but, verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. He says, against such, there is no law. And so these, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance, are all things, none of these things can our flesh accomplish. We can make it outwardly look like we're doing these things. We can make people think we love like God wants us to, or think that we have true peace in our life, or joy, or all of these things, so long-suffering, patience, all of those goodness and gentleness. We can make people think we're doing that on the outside, but our flesh is incapable of producing those things. Well, how do you know that, Brother Chad? Because what does it say? It's the fruit of what? The Spirit. So if those things are going to be accomplished in your life, it's only by the Spirit of God in your life. Does that make sense? And everything the fruit of the Spirit is, everything that the Spirit would have you do, none of that breaks the law of God. Understand? And so Paul's trying to help them. He's trying to wake them up and say, you need to stop worried about all these laws. Now, laws are good, and Paul's not against them. And we can read other passages, but what he's saying is, we need to not be so convinced, so concerned about, I can do this, I can't do this, I can do this, I can't do this, because I want God to like me, I want God to like me. No, we need to be more concerned with what God wants me to do. I'm surrendered to do that, no matter how my flesh feels about it. I want to do what God wants me to do. And whatever my flesh wants me to do, I'm not worried about that. Understand? However it makes me feel, that doesn't matter to me. And so, in the end, what God is saying is this, what Paul is saying is this. He's saying that God never asks us to just do and do and don't and don't. God asks us only to do this, surrender to Him. God wants us to surrender, that's what walking in the Spirit is, to surrender to the Holy Spirit's control and say, God, if you just do this, hey, you don't have to stop anything yet. You come to this altar and sincerely mean this in your heart to say, God, whatever you want me to do, I'm going to do that. Understand? God, I don't want to operate by what I feel or what I think or by what I want anymore. God, I want to operate by what your Holy Spirit wants me to do. Right there is when you're spiritual. And right there is when the Holy Spirit will begin to produce in you the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Here's the problem. Too many times preachers get up here and they say, we're going to do a series on the fruit of the Spirit. And they didn't read the rest of it. Now, today I'm going to talk to you about how to love, right? And this is how you love. Hello! That's the exact opposite of what he said, right? We don't just learn how to love, okay? This is how you love. You really, really care, yeah? It's not going to work. That's your flesh trying to produce love. Understand? And then next week, we'll learn how to have joy and how to have peace. All of that, you know, is fine and everything, and you can help, you know, yourself to trust the Holy Spirit in certain ways. But listen, Paul is not telling you what you need to do to have all these things. He's saying all you need to focus on, Christian, especially baby Christian, is to focus on surrendering your flesh to not matter anymore and surrendering to do what the Holy Spirit wants you to do. And then when you do that, the Holy Spirit will work in you. And the Holy Spirit will produce, because he's the only one that can, will produce love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there is no law. And so how is this supposed to be used? And this is what I'm going to talk about next week. But I'll define all these next week, not this week. I'll define all of these. And this is how Paul intends for this passage to be used. It's like a diagnosis. Like, if you're not loving people like you should, the problem is not, the solution is not, okay, so we'll just start loving people. The problem is, where are you not trusting the Holy Spirit? Understand? If you don't have joy in your life, where in your life are you failing to surrender to the Holy Spirit's control? If you don't have peace and you're anxious, somewhere in your life, you're not trusting the Holy Spirit like you should. And you're somewhere in your life trying to operate by your flesh. Whether that's outwardly in these wicked works that are shown here, or maybe that's just you're trying to live for God in your flesh. Yeah, so we'll talk more about that next week. Last point is this. Verse 24 through 26. Those who are saved have crucified the flesh and have the ability to live in the Spirit instead of their flesh. Let's read it, verse 24. And they that are Christ's, those that are saved, have crucified the flesh. That's what we're liberated from. We no longer have to operate by our flesh with the affections and lusts. The affections and lusts, your feelings, your desires are your flesh. And people, you know, will say, well, I just don't feel like doing that. Well, that's you know what you're doing when you say that is you're operating by your flesh. Or, you know, I just don't really like doing this. I don't feel comfortable. Well, you're operating by your flesh. Understand? But you don't have to do that. Yes, I do, Brother Chad. This is just who I am, you know? I'm just angry. I'm just an angry person. No, listen, if you're saved, then you've crucified your flesh. And you don't have to follow any of the desires or lusts of your flesh anymore. You don't have to operate by your feelings and your affections anymore. We have the ability as saved people to crucify our flesh and, verse 25, live in the Spirit. Now, what's it mean by live in the Spirit? Well, when you're saved, the Spirit comes in you and he quickens you. He makes you alive. And so he's talking about being saved. And then he says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. There it is again, right? Walk in the Spirit. This is what Paul is saying. How did you get saved? You got saved by doing a lot of good things? No. You got saved because you really, really wanted to? No. You got saved because the Holy Spirit quickened you. You got saved because Jesus Christ died on the cross for you, and the way that you live spiritually is because the Holy Spirit did it, and you didn't have any part of it. All you did is what? Surrender. Okay? When you got saved, you surrendered to the gospel. You surrender to the fact that you don't like that you're a sinner. It's called repentance, by the way, that you say, I don't like that I'm a sinner. You can't say, well, I don't like that I'm going to hell, but still like that I'm a sinner. That's not salvation, right? Salvation is repenting in the fact that you say, I don't like that I'm a sinner. And I don't want to be this way anymore. And I'm surrendering to the Holy Spirit. I'm surrendering to God. I want to live for Him now. And I'm accepting what Christ did for me. And when you got saved, all you did was surrender. Well, he's saying if you did that to be saved, you need to do that to walk. What do you mean? Every day, taking steps. Every step you take needs to be made by the surrender to the Holy Spirit. Because you can't walk this Christian life on your own. You can't. I mean, I think we understand that we can't save ourselves. I think that's pretty clear. I think that's why Paul used this. We understand that we can't save ourselves. We can't make ourselves right with God, and we can't forgive our own sins. We have to totally give that to God to do. Well, that is just as true in living this life. If you want to live the life God wants you to live, if you want to have love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance, the only way that you can have any of those things is the same way you got saved. You need to surrender that to God. When you got saved, you knelt down and you said, God, I'm a sinner and I can't save myself, and of my own self, I'm going to spend eternity in hell, and I cannot forgive my own sins. Well, when you're living for God, every day, you need to have this attitude. God, I can't live this life on my own. God, I can't love people. That's the first step. I don't love people. Well, did you try? No, that's not it. The first step is, well, you know why you're not loving people? Because you can't. That's the first step. I am not able to love people like I should. I am not able, God, to have the joy you want me to have. I am not able to have a life of peace. I'm not able to be gentle with people. I'm not able to be good to people. I'm not able to suffer long and be patient. I'm not able to be meek. By the way, none of us are. It's not like one person struggles with faith and, I mean, with peace, and one person struggles with joy, and one person struggles with love, and one person struggles with being meek. No, it's just that this guy got really good at faking joy, and that guy got really good at faking peace, and that guy got really good at faking temperance if they're doing it on their own, because none of us can truly have those things. It could be that some people just don't care what people think of them, and they just look like they're angry people because they're not really worried about the consequences that people care about them. Understand? If you're not a gentle person, everyone knows it, and they don't like it. But if you're not a gentle person, this is where you came to the conclusion: I don't care if people like me if I'm gentle or not. Understand? But apart from Christ, if you are a gentle person, if there's a lost person out there who's a gentle person, they've just chosen the sin of pride in that area over the sin of being a not gentle person. Understand? They've just chosen to care more about what people think than living life however they want to live it. Does that make sense? They just have different sins. But neither of them are able to produce true gentleness. None of them are able to fully, selflessly be gentle with people. And it goes with every fruit of the Spirit. Understand? And we'll get more into that next week. We'll get more into the nuts and bolts of what that means. But in the end, look at verse 26. This is what Paul is trying to tell us. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. You know what Paul is saying at the end? Stop it. For the chat, I thought you said. That's not how you handle it. It's not how you handle it. But after you explain, okay, I'll sum up the whole sermon and then I have a couple statements. So we don't want to live in the flesh. You know what we like to say? I'm just going to stop it. You can't do that. But if you have come to the conclusion that you can't You cannot overcome your flesh on your own, and you cannot live for God. But if the Holy Spirit indwells you, you can live for God as long as you surrender to his control in your life. With that in mind, you can stop it. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you've been through. On the authority of the Word of God, you can stop it. How? By denying your flesh and surrendering to the Holy Spirit's control. So you have this problem of loving people. Well, what we need to do is deny our flesh and what we want and what we think is better for us and the feelings that we have. And because if you're Christ, then you've crucified the flesh. And you have the ability to crucify your flesh in that area and surrender to the Holy Spirit's control. But it's going to take you being willing to surrender yourself. So stop it, right? A couple of statements and we'll be done. God never called us to try to live a godly life on our own. He's never done that. He's never called us to just start doing right and stop doing wrong. He's given us the Holy Spirit to help us produce the fruit that only he can produce in us. Okay? Second statement. Living a godly life has nothing to do with how good you are. Living a godly life has nothing to do with how good you are. To try to live a godly life on your own is to try to live in the flesh. And our flesh can only break the laws of God. Statement number three. If we want to live a godly life, we simply need to surrender to the Holy Spirit. Now, I say simply, and that's not so simple. But we'll talk about it more next week. But this is how we surrender. We have to make our affections and lusts unimportant. That's what it means, that we crucify the flesh with the affections and lusts. We need to make our emotions and our desires not important. Are they going to be there? They sure are. You're going to have a lot of feelings that are not godly. You're going to have a lot of desires that are not godly. But as a saved person, what we have the ability to do is to deny those ungodly feelings and those ungodly desires. You know, I just feel sad today. Well, we need to come to this realization. God, that's not godly, and God didn't give me that feeling. And we have, hey, on the authority of the Word of God, we have the ability to crucify the flesh with its affections and lusts. Yeah. We have to surrender to the idea that we want to follow God no matter how our flesh feels about it. We have to surrender to the idea that we want to follow God no matter how our flesh feels about it. Only then can we produce the fruit of the Spirit. That's the difference. If you want to stop living a carnal life, if you've been struggling for years and years, I can't get over this. This is not something I can handle. Well, you probably can't on your own. You need to surrender to the Holy Spirit. You need to deny your flesh and deny your feelings, deny your desires, and surrender to what the Holy Spirit wants us to do. Now I do understand, and if you read the very next verse, I'm not going to read it now. There are some things that you can't do. There are some things that are really difficult, I guess is a better way to say it, for you to overcome. And there is when you get help. And God's given us a pastor, and God's given you a church to come to get encouragement and support from, and to have guidance and direction from. But just because it's difficult for you doesn't mean that you can't decide you don't want to do it. Understand? The first step is this. God, I know I can't. No matter what problem you have in your life, no matter what lust you're dealing with, no matter what feeling you're dealing with, no matter what sin you're trying to overcome, the first step is this. God, I can't overcome this. Second step, God, I know that you can. That's the first step. If you can't do that, if you've tried that, and it's just, Brother Chad, sincerely, I've tried it. Well, then you need to get some help. Chapter 6, read it on your own. Find someone who's spiritual to help you. We have a man, and we're blessed to have a man of God who's not going to blow you out of the water, but will guide you and direct you, and he'll help you to overcome, and he will lift your burden with you and help you get over this thing. But there's never a reason to continue to live in your flesh. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Lord, thank you for your Holy Spirit. Lord, we know exactly who we are. If we're honest with ourselves, we know how sinful we are and how our flesh is so opposed to you and our affections, our feelings, and our desires are so other than what you want them to be. Help us, Lord, to crucify our flesh. Help us to crucify our feelings and our desires. And Lord, surrender to you. Lord, we know you won't force yourself into our life. We know you won't force love and joy and peace upon us. But Lord, help us to surrender and let you work. I pray if there are some in here that are struggling and they've convinced themselves they can't help it, Lord, your Holy Spirit would work in them and give them courage to trust you and surrender. We love you. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.